Good morning. Happy Sabbath. The second reading is from John 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much for you, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for thee, Father, on this holy Sabbath day, this day that you set aside, rested, made it holy, sanctified it, and have called your people to come unto thee in a holy convocation. We pray, Father, that we are here for the love that you have given to us, and of the love that we may show to thee by being here, being your children, by accepting the commandments, by accepting the word of God. And so, Father, we just pray and ask for that guidance and direction that will lead to the eternal life that is promised to each one of your children. And we know that our Lord is coming soon. And we have to get this message out to the world that is in darkness, the world that is dying. And so we just had that life-giving message, that message that will inspire others to be workers for thee as well as ourselves. So help us, guide us this Sabbath day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Some of this is taken from Rex Edwards, a former vice president of religious studies at Gregg's University. And as I said, the Bible is a person's guide for life, the word of God to his children, written and inspired by the Holy Spirit from men of old to thee. That, and there's questions that can be asked. Is the Bible capable to help guide our lives in today's society? Are we able and wise enough to allow the Bible, to use the Bible to guide our lives today? How can and does the Word of God, if used properly, help us to face and cope with the issues we face in these times? In other words, can we understand the Bible? Do we have the ability to use it correctly? We're going to look at four home truths: the Bible, salvation, obedience, and the Sabbath. Today we'll look at the Bible and salvation. Next week, obedience and the Sabbath. And we'll start with the Bible. The Bible is a book of faith, a book of doctrine, and a book of morals, and a book of religion of special revelation from God. That's from Daniel Webster. The Bible is a unique book. As we can tell in Psalms 119, verse 129, the testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them? And I pray that we do keep them. We trust in the Bible because of its authorship. In 2 Peter 1:21, where no prophecy of any private interpretation. It is written by 40 writers. Some were scholars, which Paul, leaders, Moses, prime minister, Daniel, priest, Ezekiel, fisherman, Peter, and all who claimed their message came from God. The Bible, because of its divinity, inspiration, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, inspiration of God. The Scriptures are not the result of dictation with the lips of God on one end and the ear of the writer on the other. The written authoritative revelation was expressed in the language of men. Ellen White, The Great Controversy. Because of its unity in arrangement in Luke 24:44, which which I spake unto you. Because of its unity in its arrangement, to do that, and we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament are divided. Number one, the law, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy, the Gospels, Matthew to John, history, Acts of the Apostles, wisdom, Psalms to Ecclesiastes, theology and ethics, Romans to Jude, prophets, Isaiah to Malachi, prophecy, revelation. The Old Testament, or the New Testament, is the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. It is unique because of its power. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. For the first reading for today, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asoma under soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And also Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And we know that this is the seed that we need to plant in other people's minds and hearts. And then it has the benefits that it has. Psalms 119. Turn that. Psalms chapter 119. Verse 105. Famous, well-known verse. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know that we can use this Bible for that. It will light our feet so that we can walk along that pathway. It offers protection. Verse 11 in 119. It makes one wise. Verses 99 and verse 130. You might not know that it makes you wise, but it does. If we live by it, if we read it and we live by it. The Bible, it sustains us. Luke 4, 40, verse 44. It makes one strong in the battle of sin. And that's the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 17. And it has a theme. Because of its theme, we can believe in the Bible and trust it. John chapter 5. Turn that. John chapter 5. Verse 39. Chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The whole Bible is a manifestation of God and of Jesus Christ. Great Controversy, page 250. The Old Testament, look at that. The forecast of his life and work, his birth in Isaiah 9:6, in Micah 5:2, his atonement, Isaiah 53, his death, Psalms 22. Verses 16 through 18. His resurrection, Psalm 16:10. His chronology, Daniel 9:27. In the New Testament, the Gospel is a record of his life and teachings. The Acts testify to the power of his preaching. The epistles apply and interpret his teachings. The book of Revelation envisions his triumph. And it is also indestructible. The Bible is indestructible. Many times it's been trying to be done away with the Bible. We know that in old times with the Catholic Church that the only Bibles that they had was in the monasteries and churches, and they were nailed, and the people were not to have the Bible. But Isaiah 46 tells us that it's indestructible. Siege its principles and abide in them. Study its prophecies and wait for them. Learn its promises and lean on them. Ponder its principles and obey them. That's written anonymous. Not sure who that. So we know that we can trust in the Bible for all these things. This word of God that was given to prophets of old, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written in so many different languages, and they're still being written in different languages even today, so that the message can go to the whole world, and that we can have it ourselves. And we pray that we read the Bible every day, we open it every day. We're in busy schedule, busy time. We don't have time for many things in our lives, at least we don't think so. But we know that we need to take time to read the Bible, to have prayer every day. and not let our lives run us, that we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ daily, to take that time daily, whether it's in the morning or at night or different. We know that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. In a fast-paced society today, can we do that? I pray that sometime that we might be able to do that, as we see that. And then the part two is, it was going to say salvation. The hands of Christ seemed very frail, for they were broken by a nail. But only they reach heaven at last, whom these frail, broken hands hold fast. John Moreland. There's three realities to the necessity of salvation. Number one is the reality of sin. Romans 6:23, we all know that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. Number two, the reality that man cannot save himself. We know that we're trying to do that. We do that as we talked about faith and works this morning in Sabbath school. We know that there are many people out there trying to work their way to heaven. And we know that that will never work. So we see that. Pray that we do. The inescapable of eternal death without intervention. We know that we cannot escape that death without the intervention of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that there. Turn to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. Jeremiah and then Ezekiel, chapter 18. First, verse 4, chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So we see that there. We cannot escape eternal death only through Jesus Christ. And we're thankful this morning that we don't have to fear that death. Christ paid it on the cross so that we would not have to die that second death. There's 5 principles of salvation. Number one, we know that the cross is central. If there's no penalty is paid, then there's no salvation. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Here we know that it is all the Lord Jesus Christ. All predicted long before he even came upon this earth the first time. And we can believe it. We can believe everything that's in the Bible. There's a lot of other verses that we could go to, but we don't have the time for that. Number two, the cross makes forgiveness possible. Without the cross, we do not have that forgiveness. John chapter 3. Turn to John chapter 3. I believe this was our reading for today, for the meditation. John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, to have that cross where we can have forgiveness. There's three terms to this. Number one is justification. Number two, the imputation of righteousness. Number three, forgiveness, which means a cancellation from an obligation. So these three terms are met. The cross makes it possible for Christ's righteousness to count for us. Romans chapter 4. Turn that. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then verses 22 through 25. 22 through 25. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered from our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we know that Christ's righteousness imputed to us, and it can count for each and every one of us if we have that trust and that belief, if we have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross also makes righteousness available through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, we're right there, so look at chapter 5 of Romans, 1 through 5. Romans 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we see that we can have this righteousness also through the Holy Spirit. And the cross of Christ gives us power to obey him. We know that we cannot obey without that power. We don't have the strength. We don't have the capability of obeying without Christ. So we pray that we do. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. So what must be done to secure salvation? Do we know? Do each one of us know how we can secure that salvation? Acts 16, 30, 31. To believe and have faith in that which Christ, being raised from the dead, we also will be raised to be with our Lord forever. And yes, one day soon, we'll have that opportunity to be with our Lord. The dead will be raised first, and then we that are alive will be raised to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with him forever and ever. What a promise that we have for each one of us. There are people out there that don't even think anything about that. But the assurity of being with our Christ forever should motivate us into good works, should motivate our faith so that we can show it. That. And there's four steps to salvation. Belief. Acts 16:31 and Mark 16:16. We must live according to our belief. Number two is confession. 1 John 4:7. Martin Luther says that recognition of sin is the beginning of salvation. Number three is repentance. We know that we have to do these things. We have to have that belief. We have to confess. We have to repent. Psalms 38, chapter 38, Psalms 38, if you would turn there. Psalms 38. And verse 18. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. To do it no more is true repentance. Martin Luther. Number four, obedience. We know that we have to give obedience to God. We do that through obeying the Ten Commandments, obeying all of the dictates that God has given to us through His Word. Hebrews chapter 5. If you would turn to there, Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 9. Hebrews 5, 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obedience to God is the most infallible evidence of sincere and supreme love to him. Nathaniel Emmons. There's two blessings that we can receive of salvation. The assurance of peace. We pray that each one of us has that peace now, this morning, while we're here, no matter what's wrong. What has gone and transpired this past week or in our lives lately, we can still have that assurance of peace. Psalms 119, verse 165. I could not live in peace if I put the shadow of one sin between myself and God. G. Eliot. And then two, the promise of a life that measures with the life of God. John 3:16, which I've already mentioned. John 6:47. Yes, the life of God. His sacrifice that he gave and sent his son here. Christ came to prove that he would not sin. And we see that in his perfect life that he lived here upon this earth. So as we see these things and we close, O saving victim, opening wide the gate of heaven to man below, our foes press hard on every side, thine aid supplies, thy strength bestow, Thomas Aquinas. So we see as we looked at today the Bible in salvation, we know that we can receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God in our midst, to be able to understand the plan of salvation, to understand what God did for us, what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on his first coming to this earth, to become our Savior and our Redeemer, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, should put us into tears, but it doesn't have to, because the surety of what transpired in that sacrifice allows us to be able to have gladness and joy in our hearts. And I pray that we do this morning, that through reading the Bible and understanding the Bible, that we can have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That name embedded within our brain, within our mind, to know that through him, through thy only begotten Son, that we have might have life and have it more abundantly. The life that we may have now here upon this earth, where this place is nothing but a stepping stone to the future. Oh Lord, help us to understand what was accomplished at Calvary's cross with the shed blood of the Lamb of God, so that we may wear the robe of righteousness, that white raiment, one day when we will be with our Lord. The day that we will be presented to thee by the Lord. Oh, help us to meet and do the things that are required of us so that we might have that life in heaven and on this earth made new with the Lord. To walk in the cool of an evening with our Lord as Adam and Eve was able to do. All the promises that you have given us of the future, we don't have words to comprehend, but we know whatever it is going to be perfect and beautiful. So I pray this day that each one of us will be there together to have the joy and the gladness of our Lord Jesus Christ as a way has been prepared for each one of us. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.